Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews. We're now joined on the Business Bunker Show all the way from New York by Mr. Jim Frawley of Bellwether Hub. Jim, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Now, first and foremost, you're in New York. Are you in New York City or New York State?
I could jog into New York City, but I'm just outside of the city.
Okay, fair enough. That's great stuff. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to meet you and talk to you. But why don't you kick off, Jim, by telling us a little bit about Jim, first of all.
Sure. I run an organization called Bellwether. It's based in New York. And what we do is we help people and companies respond to change. Okay. We build resilient companies. We build resilient individuals because there's so much change happening. We don't know how to respond to the change or what change is actually going to be coming. So yeah. I do that in my work time. And then my fun free time is family time, reading books and triathlons and all of that.
Fantastic. Okay, let's talk about that. Let's unpack some of that. You know, change is a thing that happens and always has happened. But I don't know what you feel about this, but for me, the pace of change has been accelerating over the last few decades just because of technology changes as much as anything else. But then, of course, with the pandemic, that's added a whole new level of potential change. What are your feelings about change in itself and the kind of things I just said about what's driving those changes?
Well, you hit the nail on the head because you said the challenge is the pace of change. And everyone understands that change is constantly happening. Change is a constant. The one thing that never changes is that change always happens. We hear about all those things. Yeah. But the pace of change is growing to such a rate that we're unable to keep up. And it's an added level of stress where we feel like we're going to be left behind because we constantly feel like we're being left behind. You sit there, you know, the pandemic came in. Suddenly you're working from home. Your boss doesn't know how to manage people from home. You don't know how to communicate at work. You turn on the news and there's people rioting outside. So you're nervous about that. Your teenager is tweeting a new emoji and you have to try and figure out what that is. And every aspect of where you turn, something is changing. And each one of these is okay individually, but the scale of it is everywhere that you look. So how do you change and adapt to this change when macro looking is just monstrous and everywhere? So technology is driving most of it.
Yeah.
Technology is, you know, it's making our lives better. It's a wonderful thing. And we love technology.
Smiling. I'm going to tell you why in a minute.
Okay, good. I want to hear about that.
Yeah.
But it comes, you know, what are we sacrificing and what are we trading that off for? The convenience of getting something delivered in 2 hours and everything. Yeah. What are we giving up for that? And are we prepared to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm smiling. Just so you know, my background is in technology. And because I'm so old, I've actually worked in technology for 50 years. But I hate technology at the moment. It is driving me bonkers. You know, because what you just identified is so true. You know, technology is embedded in everything, but it's not the individual bits of technology. It's when you put it all together and it doesn't work or something goes wrong and it drives you mad. And I'll tell you this because no one else is listening. Last week I had all my credit cards hacked. And trying to sort that out when everything in your life is connected, you know, so I'm getting inundated with emails saying, you didn't make a payment for this and you didn't make a payment for that. And I'm going, I didn't even remember I had my card there. Yeah.
You're the second person from the UK to say that exact thing to me in the last less than a week,
right,
where they got hacked and you can't fix it.
Yeah.
Because you don't know where to go. And it's so intertwined into everything that it's almost like we let our guard down. Everything's so easy and convenient.
Yeah.
When there's that little hiccup, all of a sudden you have a major challenge.
Absolutely. I think that's the key to all of these kind of things, and why coping with change can be so difficult, because we have made things easier, but we don't necessarily understand how we've done that. So when it goes wrong, you go, well, I don't know.
I didn't build it.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So in looking at all of those things that you raise, and they're all good points, tell us about Bellwether Hub and what it is you actually do, and what you focus on to help folks deal with this kind of stuff.
Yeah. So we have two types of clients. We have individuals who come to us saying, you know what, I have a small business, or my work isn't really going that great, and I want to take care of, you know, my life, my work, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And then we've got the corporations where we're redoing how they think about learning and development for their employees, mm-hmm. and putting together strategic plans and thinking about the future of their organization. I say that there are three things you need to be successful in this new technologically driven mm-hmm. economy. One is strategic planning, mm-hmm. which we don't teach well.
Yeah.
Bellwether teaches it well, but in the world, we don't teach well.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We don't know how the pieces come together.
Yeah.
Two is executive communications. How do you communicate that plan to other people? And then three, and I wrote a book on this called Adapting in Motion, and that's the other one, is how do you adapt to change, pivot that plan when you don't know what change is coming?
Yeah.
You know, there's a saying, planning is everything, but the plan is worthless.
Yeah.
So you could put together your plan. The world's not going to align with it. How do you change it and adjust it as the days go by and get other people behind you to accomplish what it is that you're going to accomplish?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm going to tell you something, and I want your thoughts and feelings on it, and I might upset you. But lots of people talk to me about goal setting. I should explain, I'm an entrepreneur as well. I have a number of businesses that I run. People talk to me about goal setting, and I'm just not a goal setter. I'm just not into goals. What I have is a strategic plan, but the thing about that plan is it's flexible, because I don't know what's going to happen next. So I have to have some kind of flexibility in where I'm going to cope with whatever life kind of throws at you next. And I want your thoughts and feelings on that, Jim, if I may.
Yeah. So when we think about what we want to accomplish, some people like to check things off a list. Hmm. And those people like to build goals, right? I want to read 500 books this year. I want to do this, and I'm going to. But all of a sudden, when things get backed up with our task list, we get overwhelmed by saying, I'm not doing enough. And it's another distraction on top of everything else that you need to do. Hmm. A strategic plan, having that vision of where you want to go, allows you the flexibility to change it in the moment. Life is chaos theory.
Yeah.
So you can have 6 or 7 plans.
Yeah.
As you're making progress on one, that may fundamentally change another one that you thought was so important at the beginning of the year. 1 or 2 quarters in, you might say, you know what? Now that I'm at this point, I'm going to make a completely different decision than where I was 3 months ago, 6 months ago. And the world has changed. The pace of change is happening so quickly that this needs to be reviewed on a monthly and quarterly basis, saying, am I on the right track? Is this what I actually want to accomplish? And do I need to make a change? But then continue to ask for that bigger vision. Am I still on the path of where I actually want to go?
Yeah, I think that is crucially important. And the point you just made for me is the biggest point of all, which is to continually review the feedback and the signs that you're getting. Because a lot of people set out to do something and they keep doing it without looking around them to go, hold on a minute, this isn't working, or it's not taking me where I thought it was going to take me. They go, no, I'm doing it, and I'm doing it, and I'm doing it, and I'm doing
it. I'm checking it off my list,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's yeah, right. Excellent. And I'll, if it's not working, I'll do it harder. And I quite often see people making that mistake of keeping going with something without reviewing where it is. So I love what you say about checking that strategic plan on a regular basis. Okay, I want to talk a little bit, if we may, Jim, about Bellwether Hub and how you deliver the coaching that you do. And I know that part of your marketing is to say that you're very different to a lot of corporate coaching. Now, in my past, I worked for corporates many years ago, and I did all the management training programs and all that kind of stuff. Some of them were, you know, pretty interesting, maybe, but a lot of them were fairly cliched as well. You know,
yeah.
I've got to say, you might not even recognize this because you're a young man, but I call it "There's no I in team," and what I mean by that is back in the 80s, you could walk into any office in the Western world of any kind of organization, and they had a banner on the wall that said "There's no I in team."
Right.
Yeah. And I just found that a cliche. I was a bigger fan of some of the avant-garde stuff that said, you know, about eagles might soar, but weasels don't get sucked into jet engines.
Those are the motivational posters we need.
That's exactly, just... exactly, yeah. So I want to talk about how you deliver the kind of programs that you deliver, if you would.
Yeah, I have so many people ask me about my approach to coaching, my philosophy on coaching.
Yeah.
I tell all of my clients in the nicest way possible, I hope I never speak to you again. And I don't take any clients until we agree on what success looks like from an ROI perspective, until we pick an end date so that we know when I'm done, because my belief in coaching is I should be getting you to a place where you no longer need a coach. I don't believe in these ongoing coaching, life coaching engagement type of things. Some people may need that, but that's not what I provide.
Yep.
And the fundamental thing that most coaching programs miss is they don't talk about ROI. They say, well, you can't measure leadership. You can't measure these types of things in a financial sense, which I fundamentally disagree with.
Okay.
In my years of running businesses in the financial industry, business strategic planning in the financial industry, the first question is, what's the value we're getting out of this? If you can't articulate the value in coaching, then you shouldn't be doing it. Mm-hmm. And so if you can't measure leadership, you can measure behaviors. So what are the behaviors then that constitute good leadership for this particular situation? Customize it for that, and you could track down an ROI to that. Correct. So we'll do it for an individual. That individual has to articulate the value they're getting out of coaching,
right,
what success looks like, and then we will build that over 6 months. It's the same thing with a workshop. It's the same thing with a consulting, six-month consulting job, whatever it is that we want to do. I believe that we should be coaching and developing people in the most cost-effective manner possible.
Mm.
Because none of this is brain surgery. Mm. None of this is brand new. And unless you're a large organization able to pay for a lot of these coaches, I think the people, especially paying out of pocket, should get as much of this for as cheaply as possible. Mm. Because it's really good. Just because I took classes and I could teach you how to put together a plan doesn't mean it should cost you $10,000 every time you sit down with me. Mm. You know, why don't we do it for $50? We'll sit down and you're doing all the work. So how do we structure it so that it could be the most cost-effective way for people to get what they need?
Yeah, I love that. I absolutely love that. I don't know if you've worked at all in the UK or Europe, but one of my big things over many years is in the US, people themselves, individuals, small business owners, were always more inclined to invest in themselves than we are in the UK. In the UK and mostly Europe, if I'm honest, but in the UK, people will go on corporate training courses. You know, if they work for a big corporate, they'll go on the courses and they'll, you know, lap it up and they'll ask to go on more. But if you ask them to pay for themselves individually, they go, no, I'm not sure about that. That is slowly starting to change in the UK, but it's been a long time coming. So what I love about what you said is that, you know, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? If you can show them the return on investment, yeah, you can, why wouldn't you? Yeah, if it's £1,000 or, you know, $800 and I can show you a potential return of 2,000, then it's a no-brainer, yeah?
100%.
Yeah.
Right, if you've got an employee...
Yeah.
You're paying £150,000 a year to, that person should be giving you at least £200,000 of value.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're making an investment in technology, you're going to be saying, what's the ROI and what's the benefit of it? It's the same with coaching. If we're going to bring this person in and it's going to cost us $100,000 for this coaching engagement, we better be getting, you know, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 in return on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Without, getting you to do the whole program here online. It would be like lovely if you could, but obviously we can't. Give us some ideas of the kind of things that you talk about on your program, Jim, and when you're coaching, the kind of things that you focus on with people. I know that's a fairly open-ended question, but I just want to get a feel.
Yeah. So when we talk about strategic planning, so my three buckets, plan, communicate, and adapt.
Right.
Strategic planning is all about self-efficacy and understanding from a macro view, and how do you jump from macro vision of where we want to go to the actual steps that we need to execute on. And that's a skill that most people aren't taught. Most people are taught when you get into work, focus on this one little thing, and then someone else will bring it up to the bigger picture. You need to elevate to a strategic macro view, bring it down to your individual level, and you have to do it 100% based on what you need. There's a saying, we don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. So I could give you advice on how to do it, but it's a little disingenuous because I don't know your situation, your background, and all of those other things. So from a strategic planning perspective, I focus very much on self-efficacy. You want to run an Ironman? All right, your goal is run an Ironman. Your plan is this over X many years, and here are the steps to get there. And are you running today? And are you biking tomorrow? And understanding what steps to get you to that bigger spot. From there, we go to communications. And this was a lot of my background in finances. How do you communicate to three different audiences? One is senior level, board level, bosses, I guess we'll call it the boss of the organization, senior level organizations running the organization.
Yep.
Who are your shareholders? How do you communicate to them? How do you communicate to your clients? And how do you communicate to the people who are working with you? And it's the same message, but delivered in different ways.
Sure.
And when I was working in the financial industry during the financial crisis, the people who could do that well survived the financial crisis.
Right.
The people who could do it, those were the leaders who said, you know what, I could communicate with the clients to say, everything's going to be okay. With the associates, everything's going to be okay. To the shareholders, everything's going to be okay. And here's why.
Yeah.
And they were able to communicate in that really effective way. And then adapting emotion, adapting to change, is putting together your plan to deal with macro change. You don't want to focus on the macro change.
Mm.
I say macro change requires a focus on micro you. So how are you making good, effective decisions based on whatever it is that you're making a decision on? So we need awareness of the change.
Yeah.
We need to create a plan and prepare for the change. We need to become learners, and then we can make good, wise decisions based on that. So we can bring, you have to fill in all those details, but I can bring you through to make really good, effective decisions to be able to make good decisions in the new economy.
Absolutely. I love that. And I couldn't agree more with what you're saying. I mean, for me, talking about acuity, you know, awareness of everything that's going on around you and how you fit that into what you're trying to achieve. But the biggest thing and the thing that is done so badly or not at all in a lot of instances is communication. The ability to communicate is key. And a lot of our audience here of the Business Bunker Show are owners of small and medium-sized businesses. And without being rude, you know, they're specialists in their field. You know, if they run a heating and plumbing business, they tend to be plumbers. You know, if they're an electrical business, they tend to be electricians. So they haven't come from a management or a communications background. So it's those kind of skills that they suffer from, if you see what I mean, from a lack of because it's not their skill set. It's not where they came from. But in running those businesses, especially if they want to scale up, they're the kind of things that they must concentrate on.
Yeah, and and the reason it's not a skill set is most people don't understand just a basic communication model because we've never been taught it.
Yeah,
most people don't have a full appreciation of what it takes to communicate effectively.
Yeah.
You can send a message to someone, but whether or not they receive the message you're giving in the way that you want it, that's your responsibility to do that, which is why we don't communicate so much over Twitter in 280 characters. Sometimes you need more than just a Twitter character in order to communicate well.
Yeah.
So how are you laying the foundation for whoever you're communicating to understand exactly what it is that you're trying to say for them?
Yeah.
That's a big step that we tend to miss.
Absolutely. And that kind of brings us full circle to where we started with the whole technology endemic change thing. I don't know about you, but I get messages from people on WhatsApp, on LinkedIn, on Twitter DMs and Facebook and email And I go back to find what somebody said, and I can't even remember how they contacted me.
Right.
blimey, I can't find that message. I swear I saw it an hour ago. But it's not just the platform. It's the content of the message is being driven by the platforms that people are using. As you said, with a 280 character limit on Facebook and people using emojis and all kinds of stuff. But there's no consistency in the message that they're delivering.
That's right. That's right. It's going across the board. You can't find anything that you want to do, or your phone is just designed to interrupt. I have five siblings, and if I get on a group text message chain, my head's going to go through the wall. I'm trying to do work, and it's like bat, constantly going.
Yeah.
So you don't know if it's in a text message, LinkedIn, email. How many email addresses do you have? How many direct messages do you have?
Yeah.
Which maybe someone's listening who could create a platform to just compile everything into one.
Bring it all into
make
one place.
Like a meta communication thing, that would be great.
Yeah, cool. But the key to all of that isn't necessarily the platform. It's the message that you're trying to send and the way that you communicate.
That's right.
And we love what you're saying. Jim, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. If people want to find out more about Bellwether Hub and about Jim Frawley, what's the best way to do that?
Great. Thank you for having me. Best way to find me is on bellwetherhub.com. Mm-hmm. And you can also go to adaptinginmotion.com. That's the title of the book. That's a little easier to remember.
Right.
So Bellwether Hub, and I'm Bellwether Hub on all the social media platforms. So you can find me there.
Just before we say goodbye to you, just give us a quick overview of the book.
Yeah. The book is called Adapting in Motion, Finding Your Place in the New Economy. And it brings you on an arc on how to respond to change when you don't know what change is coming. So it was written during the pandemic. How do you, not understanding what's coming around the corner, how are you prepared for something that you don't know that's coming?
Fantastic. I'm going to have a read of that book without any shadow of a doubt. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners will. But for the moment, Jim Frawley, Bellwether Hub, thank you so much for joining the Business Bunker Show. Take care and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you so much, Paul.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being, and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.